Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Jerry in for Boomer today and tomorrow. He'll be back on Monday. It is rare that all of us are together on vacation, but we were. And it wasn't, it was a, like a half vacation, half content creation.
Have a content creation vacation.
Yeah.
I think I just came up with a new term. Content creation vacation is what we were on. And I'm sure if you follow us on social media, you saw a bunch of it. It all started when we were talking about Boomer potentially going out and seeing Frank Reich, who was coaching Stanford this year, and going to a game. And he's like, if we're out there, we got to play Pebble Beach. And then it just turned into playing Pebble Beach. And then the fine folks over at Scratch, who is a digital media company that continues to grow and grow and grow in the golf space, decided, hey, we want to get involved and we want to use you guys to sort of launch our travel sector of what we're doing digitally with the brand. And we were all about it. So we went out there and spent a few days, got a chance to play Pebble Beach and Spanish Bay and The Hay, their putting course and their par three course, and just had an amazing, amazing time. And, look, there's some video already from Scratch that was sent to CBS Sports Network. If you're watching now, and, you know, there's a lot of things that you have high expectations of. And I've always talked before about how expectation is the thief of joy, where if things don't meet those expectations, then you're thinking, oh, man, you know, like that stunk and I wish it were better, where meanwhile, like everything was great. But this certainly, even though I went in with very high expectations, met and exceeded those expectations. I think, you know, for me, the moment, the best moment that I had where I was like really like feeling it was teeing off on 10 when the sun started to come out with the ocean to the right and the mountains in the background, and then walking up to my ball after that. It was just like the temperature was perfect. The vista was perfect. It just absolutely blew me away. So it's just one of those things where the pictures and the video look great, and we can't wait to see the pictures and the video, but you really have to be there to fully understand how unbelievable it is. And there's a Boomer teeing off on 17 at Pebble Beach with the birds flying in the background. So pretty cool stuff.
No, it was, I agree with you. To me, the anticipation of the event usually is better than the event. This completely exceeded my expectation. Now, I had been there before, as you know. I had lunch. I didn't get to play. So I had seen it up close and personal and was kind of, you know, amazed by it. And we're probably talking 20 years ago was the last time I was there. But I started watching golf in the mid-90s, I would say. And the pinnacle for me would be when we walked to the 18th tee box. Seven was great, and they're showing seven on TV right now, which was really awesome. But when we walked up to 18, and you got the fence and the water, and I'm thinking of all those like the U.S. Opens, the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. You see the guy on 18 getting ready to tee off with the lead to win the championship. That's for me. And you see the tree in the fairway and the green, and you're thinking about Scheffler on the beach and the rocks down below, which is, of course, where I hit my ball on my second shot. That, to me, was just that was the eye-opening moment for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, so, of course, seven is in my head. Everybody, you know, I've been thinking about it all the time, and it crept up on me quick. And you're thinking, how could that happen, that it creeps up on you quick? It's seven. You know how to count, right? So seven comes after six. But the way that it worked was we played the first five holes together, and then we did this match with the two members of Scratch, Ian and Nicole, that were out there. And we started our match. We did a nine-hole match across Pebble Beach in Spanish Bay, and we started our match at Pebble Beach on six. So what happens is like, I got off to this great start, too. I was, like, hitting the ball great, and then we just got totally iced.
Yeah. We stopped for 15 minutes.
Yeah, 15, or that felt like 2 hours. But 15 minutes, and we stopped, and then all the camera guys came up, and then we waited and waited and waited, and then we played six with all the cameras on us. It was the first time we really had all the cameras on us for every shot, and then all of a sudden, boom, here's seven. And you're like, wow, here I am. And, of course, I hit it short, did not hit the green, went into the bunker. However, Boomer hit a great shot, made birdie, and then Nicole hits this shot, makes a 35-footer for birdie, so that's all on camera, which is great. But I did feel much better about it because a guy who, of my limited skill in the game, was not going to get on camera me hitting the green on seven and then playing eight well. It wasn't going to happen. if I were better, maybe.
Sure.
It was not going to happen. Like, yeah. Even Boomer, after his birdie on seven, topped his drive.
Did he really?
On eight.
Did he?
Yeah. So I get up to eight. I hit a good one. And then the Jack Nicklaus always said that the best second shot at golf is the second shot on eight. It's over the ocean. And I had the hybrid. Whap, I hit it perfectly. And I have that at least forever on camera. So that particular shot. So at least I had that. That's what I'm telling myself. I'm like, you can't get greedy.
You can, but it's likely not going to happen.
Well, there you go.
Right.
So I'm being more realistic than anything else.
For sure.
Is the fact that I wasn't going to get both of those things. But, I mean, when we thank WFAN for allowing us to go out there with Scratch, I mean, they were so supportive of this. And, you know, it seemed like you're always going to get people ripping you for everything you do, but it seemed like there was a good 75% of people that were enjoying what was going on. But you know how you fight against the Jerry is angry thing?
Sure,
with
sure.
Like, you know, and I'll be guilty of making Boomer, you know, harass you if there's nothing going on too. But we all know that it's a farce and he just likes to mess with you, right? So the thing that I will fight against is the fact that I don't think that I'm any good at golf. And when we, like, talk about the Golf Digest Open, it was hilarious how that happened. It was mainly because we got all these strokes off a +4 handicap. We're, you know, whatever, you know, and right. Boomer got way more strokes than he probably should have, but he got them, and whatever. I'm not any good.
You're not claiming you went out and shot 63.
No! I put in all my scores. You can see it. You know, it's 92, 95, 98, 103. 90. I've never claimed, so it's like an 18-7 right now. I've never claimed to be any good. What I've claimed is that I work hard at it. I play a lot. I want to get better.
And you enjoy it.
And I have fun, and it's great. So, like, when I tell you this, I'm not full of crap. It doesn't bother me. It made me laugh because this guy goes, Gio's getting exposed on this trip. And I said, exposed is what?
He played good, actually.
The guy that stinks who's an 18 handicap, that's not going to look good on camera. I know that. I'm not a pro. I started 2022. I'm having fun. It's hilarious.
It is.
I was laughing out loud. I was like, give me a break.
The amount of people, and even talking to my caddy, Rich, because I asked him, you know, I always wonder, like, what type of player do you see? And he says, we see everything from 40 handicaps out here.
Oh, yeah.
To scratch golfers. Most of them, though, are between that 15 to 40 range. It's
yeah.
a lot of weekend hackers like us. And I don't know what people think. Like, none of us think we're any good. Boomer is good.
Yeah.
And when Boomer gets going, and Boomer had an 81 at yeah. Pebble Beach, and it should have been a 75.
He played that well.
He played lights out. We are what we are.
Yeah.
We enjoy playing. It's fun. Like, that's it.
Yeah, we're not claiming to be, I mean, like, you joke around with your friends, oh, I'll beat you in a scramble, whatever, but, like, I mean, my God, we don't claim to be anything. And, like, yeah, like, some of the stuff on camera, it's not going to look good. You want to know why? Because we're not pro golfers.
Exactly right.
We're out there having a good time.
And I got people, you know, with my outfits. I mean, guys, give it a rest already.
I know.
I mean, good Lord. I had a great BEF hoodie on with shorts. And then when we got out there, I brought the Sugarloaf pullover.
Yeah.
When we got out there, it was freezing.
Yeah.
So I threw that on. You don't like my outfit?
Yeah.
F off. So, yeah, I can't help you.
The two that made me laugh the most was the one is getting exposed. And the other one was the guy screenshotted how I put the pin back in after your putt at the hay. So, like, he's like, this is a ridiculous way to put the pin back in the hole.
How?
I guess I went and got your ball out of the hole, yeah. Right? And then I was, like, still bending over, and then I put the flag back in, like, I was holding it, like, low, I guess, and bending over and putting it back in, and someone had an issue with that. And I was like, this is just amazing.
It's, you can't do anything,
but
right?
No, but it's most fine. Of the people, it's just, but it made me laugh. It's just like, you know, you what did you expect? Like us to go out there and look like Fred Couples in 1991.
And by the way, I'll say this. We had holes where we actually looked pretty good.
Yeah, of course. Like, yeah.
You had several holes you were putting for birdie.
Yeah, that did. So did you. Know?
Yes.
And so did you.
We also had, I also opened with five straight doubles first morning.
Yeah, that.
The way it goes.
I kind of screwed you a little bit the first hole at Pebble Beach.
That's okay.
Because I can't, like, the first tee shot out of all of us out there could not be me.
He's like, you go.
I could not be. Because it's like none of the scratch guys had seen us play.
Right.
The caddies hadn't seen us play. Like, I just don't want to be the one setting the tone with a terrible shot.
Mm. So I did.
Yeah. So then I got up and I hit a good one.
Yes, you did.
But and then also the second day I hit a great one on the first tee at Spanish Bay. So hopefully they show those.
We both did, and you know who hit two bad ones?
Oh, the big guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Boomer almost put it in a living room.
Yeah, that is right. Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did two bad ones at
correct
at Spanish Bay,
and then took off. But he did not have a good start that morning.
I was a little. It's like the level of when I say I'm bummed about something. It's like you really can't be because your default setting out there is just you're so happy and grateful to be there. But you know, after the layoff, and then you know we tee off on camera. The worst drive I had was on the first camera shot
on both days.
It's like ah,
yeah, yeah.
Like, come on.
You know what else was very cool about the trip, too? And I think a lot of people could relate to this. When you first meet people, you have no idea, like, what to expect.
Yeah.
Obviously, we met Rob. We knew him. We didn't know anybody else. And there were six other people in this group. And so you go into it, you know, are we going to meet guys that are pretentious?
Right.
Are they... People are scum. No. Maybe. And in some cases, that could be the case. But you mentioned Nicole and Ian already. You had Tim, Ross, and Zane and Derek. That made up the seven. Though they were, it felt like we knew them for months, if not years. They just like blended right in, and it made the entire experience really outstanding. It was really great.
Yeah, I mean, they absolutely cared about our experience, what we were doing, and cared about what Al and Eddie were doing.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it was awesome. They're a real professional operation over there, and really can't thank them enough for you know, providing us with this opportunity to do this. And it was so cool, so memorable. Like, I'll never, and we'll have the video forever, too, yep. If you think about that.
Yep. And Izzo did a good job of getting some stuff out as well, right from the get-go. So I think from everybody, from fan to us to Scratch, those guys, it was just a great couple of days. It really was.
Yeah, I was missing the fact, I know you guys have done it way more than me, but missing the fact that we didn't have the Super Bowl together, because I really do enjoy that. Like, it's like I don't enjoy being away from home that long and working in the middle of the night like we did at Vegas, but it's just like the camaraderie that is built with us. It's different when you're on the road. You know, here it's the same routine, whatever. So the fact that we were able to get that on this trip was great as well. I mean, and just... The story arc was amazing with your putter, and people would be able to see that and everything else. So
it's amazing the little things you don't expect.
Yeah,
it's stupid, I swear.
Yeah, so I mean, and you could kind of see the story play out on social media if you want, but you know, and Fleegs is right. It's our last trip with Eddie, right?
I did think of that because talking to Rob a little bit, you know, who knows? They have designs on maybe doing something else down the line, and my next thought was. Like, that's it. Like, Eddie's not going to be there if we do something again with them next summer.
Yeah. Nope.
That sucks.
Yeah, I know.
Eddie's such a calming influence when you see him on these trips. Like, to not have him, is that'll be
he was there. Weird. He was there just hanging out on the patio, too, at Spanish Bay.
Which
didn't even know
cool.
We were going to be there. And there he was, like, hey.
Yeah, 7 o'clock in the morning. There was Eddie.
Yeah, clapping, rooting us on.
Yeah, it was. But, yeah, that's probably, unless we do a Super Bowl trip, which I don't think we will again.
No, because it's out there. You know?
Is it Santa Clara again?
Yeah,
we're not doing it.
Well,
if
the Jets or the Giants.
True.
Right, yeah, sure.
Uh-huh. So that's the last trip with Eddie.
Yeah, yep. Who almost didn't make the trip.
So that was interesting because as Al and I are sitting there, we had a 6 a.m. flight going out. I'm nuts. I'm going to be at the gate by 4:15. Al got there right after me. Now, when I first got to the gate, my first thought is, where's Eddie? I figured he'd be the first one there the way he's the first one at work every day. Wasn't there. We got to 5 o'clock, and Al goes, I think I need to text him because it's 5 o'clock and he's not here yet. And we were boarding at 5:15. So at about 5:05, he finally reaches out and got a response. And Eddie's like, I'm at security, or I was trying to check the baggage or something. We did not think he was going to make it to where they were making announcements on the plane for him right before they were going to shut the door.
Eddie Scozzari.
And then he was the last one to,
Yeah, so they had you there. They took your phone for 7 minutes. They were swabbing your hands, and then you had to do the whole insulin thing. And yeah.
Tough. Very tough for
him. Almost closed the door on you, Eddie.
Yeah, it was a close thing, but all good.
You made it.
Yes. All good is right. And also, you know, there's the picture right there of Eddie getting on the plane. And then the person who thought that they had an open seat next to them.
Oh, they did not.
Then gets Eddie in a humongous backpack filled with insulin and ice packs.
That's like the most frustrated look I've ever seen on Eddie's face.
He was, and you know what, he was actually fine. He really was.
But I'm saying that's how normally, like, even-keeled he is.
The guy that was, so going there, me and Eddie were basically together. He was on an aisle, I was in the window, and there was the guy in the middle. For a moment, especially when I saw how much stuff Eddie had with the bag and the insulin, I almost thought to switch with the guy. I'm like, no, I actually paid to upgrade my seat to the window. I'm not moving.
Right.
But I was going to briefly, but. I did not.
Yeah, no. You want to be able to have what you want to have, right? Yeah. I mean, for God's sakes. And also, you know, we mentioned how great Scratch was. The people at Pebble and the Inn at Spanish Bay. I mean, it's very rare these days that, like, you show up somewhere and every person that works there, you feel like they want you to be there.
They're very friendly.
Oh, my gosh.
Very friendly.
Yeah, they were great.
I know.
Just everything buttoned up. It was awesome.
I can't come up with one thing that was disappointing. Not one.
Yep. Same here. Everybody was all, the caddies were awesome. You know, the concierge was awesome. And they got that car show showing up there. So they got all these freaking Ferraris and Lamborghinis.
Kind of cool to see.
Yeah.
Too.
I mean, they were absolutely everywhere. But the problem was they were ruining a lot of the shots. So we would be talking.
And then here comes the car.
Right. We'd be talking outside and setting up a scene. And you think it was over. And then another one goes.
It was loud.
Freaking Ferraris all over the place. It was, incredible. And I don't feel all that jet lagged.
No, me neither. Feel good.
Like, I feel okay. Like, I was able to sleep enough. And I mean, it's like an 11 and a half, 12 hour excursion.
It is, but it's also 3,000 miles.
Yeah, right?
When I think of that, like, we got stuck on the plane for 90 minutes when we landed because of the storms last night.
God.
And I'm thinking, boy, long day. But you know what? It started in California, for God's sake.
Yeah, that's right. Yep, very, very far away. A different world. And the weather out there is, I actually really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I got to say.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
I mean, I don't want it every day. But like a respite from like some of the humidity and stuff, I was like, this isn't bad.
6:30 a.m., a little chilly for sure, but you are right. Midday, it's fantastic.
Oh, it's just like the ocean breeze and the whole thing. Just an amazing trip. You're going to see all the footage coming out. There's already a bunch of stuff up on our social channels. CBS Sports Network put out a bunch. It's all going to be up there. There's going to be long-form videos, short-form videos. Scratch is going to put up on their YouTube channel and all their socials. At Scratch with a K, you'll be able to see a lot of this stuff, and I'm sure it's not going to disappoint, just like this trip.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Did not.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, 25 after 7, built Ford Tough Studio. It is the Boomer and Geo program on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. As we are back from California, Boomer will be back on Monday. Myself and Geo and Eddie back today. Al off a couple of days as well.
Yeah, that was a quick break, huh? Both CeeLo and I were surprised that we were back already.
We are back.
Yeah. One thing I did want to mention, this is not us saying that we're good.
Yeah.
Me and you, undefeated on this trip.
Correct. That is at 4-0.
Yeah, now, it's all handicap system stuff, except for...
Some was, not the putting and not the par 3.
Right, not the putting and not the par 3 contest. But when you and I were together, we did not lose. And then when Boomer and I... were together as a twosome against the two scratch, Ian and Nicole, we won that as well.
Correct.
So, clean sweep.
Mm-hmm. And the total in the 36 hole, we won
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, that too. Yeah.
It's pretty good.
So just when Boomer was posting scores, that was with the handicap? Like you guys in the 90s?
No.
You guys legit were shooting low to mid 90s, both of you?
Well, yeah. Yeah, we that's what we shot.
95 and then 89. I would say the my 89 at Spanish Bay... I probably more like 92, 93.
Based on
a couple of gimme putts of like, I don't mean 10 feet, like 3, yeah. 4 feet. You still got to make them though. Whereas Boomer like, pick it up, let's go. I'm like, okay.
Well, yeah, that's, so like on the holes where like, let's say Boomer, because it's match play and we already have the best score. Yeah. He did this with himself too, right? Like, so there, instead of me finishing out the par 3 that I just hacked two in the bunker, and
he
then I'm
to
up
move
there.
Along.
I took a 6.
Yeah.
So I took a 6 on that par 3.
Got
you
it.
Know, if we kept playing. But then if you put the scores into the gin app, and you get net double bogey no matter what. So, but yeah, that was, I mean.
They're pretty legit.
Okay. Yeah, I would say.
Pretty legit.
Nicely done.
I mean, there was a stretch. I mean.
Was that so hard to believe?
Not that it's hard.
Played the whites.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, I've not been out there, obviously, but I'm thinking about, obviously, a prestigious course, figuring it's going to be a little bit more challenging than just your run-of-the-mill golf course. But
I would agree with that, but any golf course, if you hit the ball straight, which we did for stretches, you do relatively, and the caddies help. I mean, instead of four-putting the greens, they're really helping
you. Show up to a course you never played before, you need, especially on the greens.
And that was a big part of it, too.
Yeah. And in playing the whites, it definitely was, there were not a lot of very long shots. In you know, and you could get to the par fives sort
and
of
three,
yeah, sort of like that.
What snarky comment did Eddie make? I can see him
if he wants to go on the air, then I'll let him make that.
No, I don't think I should, probably not. Even with only 8 months to go, I wouldn't. If you don't think you should, I wouldn't.
I would agree.
It's a good line, but we're not saying it. It has nothing to do with us, it wasn't ripping us. I don't think,
you never know.
But honestly, I'm not going to say it wasn't difficult, but it wasn't like one of these places where the greens are so nuts,
right?
That you're like,
it wasn't U.S. Open week, you know,
right?
The course
exactly. Rough wasn't crazy.
Yeah.
I will tell you the second we went back out to Spanish Bay after the Pebble Day, this is the best 9 I've played in a very long time. I mean, you were with me.
Yeah, it was great.
And it could have been even better. I missed a couple of putts, and it was good.
It's a little better than Baltusrol, huh?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah, Baltusrol was fine, but I mean,
the way, you know, your performance is what I'm saying.
Yes, I would say so.
Man, very I nice. Tell you, that putt, that Boomer, that's like whatever 4 or 5 foot putt that he posted of mine, that
the
one
birdie
really
putt
pissed me off because.
Yeah, you looked a little shaky there.
Because he started filming. And then I can't blame anything on it because I wanted a birdie so bad, and I was right there. I had this drive over the trees that was perfect. The second shot was like 75 yards. It was perfect. Then I got up there, and then all I hear from behind me is, Geo for birdie. And I'm like...
gives you a little feel of what it's like, you know, on tour on a Sunday with the tournament on the line and the whole gallery's, you know, waiting in anticipation.
And you just made me realize, theoretically, my last hole was a birdie.
Oh, yeah.
On the par 3.
On the par 3 course.
How about that? At the hay. That's pretty good.
At the hay, yeah. It certainly was, yeah. I mean, I crumbled under pressure there. Definitely, without a doubt.
You look good there, CeeLo.
Thank you for that photo. You took that.
You're welcome.
Nice photography skills.
Yes, sir. all right, CeeLo, what's happening over there?
All right, sponsored by Primo Brands, the official water sponsor of MLB, Major League Baseball, trademarks used with permission. So last hour, we played the Michael Harris Grand Slam as part of a 9-run, 4th-inning meltdown by David Peterson, Reed Garrett, and the Mets last night. So a 6-0 lead went to a 9-6 deficit. But hey, Mets kind of came back in the bottom of the 4th in that. They get a 2-out hit by pitch and then a walk, and you've got Pete Alonso on second base with Starling Marte at the plate and a chance to respond.
Runners go, 3-2. Line to right field. That's a base hit in front of Eli White. Alonso getting waved around toward the plate. Here's the throw, the slide, the tag. Alonso's out on a head-first dive. And that ends the inning. Eli White throws him out at the plate.
That kind of night.
They saved the call. Even the sack fly for Cedric Mullins, I think. I mean, got down quickly. That was a hell of a catch that the right fielder made, because that could have been more runs early on in that game.
Yeah.
And then in that point, they could have scored, and they didn't.
They did not, no. Yeah. Keith Radd, Odyssey Mets Radio. Mets did not score the rest of the way in a tough-to-figure 11-6 loss to Atlanta as Peterson came unglued in the top of the fourth. He ended up walking five. Garrett, not much better, but it goes back to the starters for manager Carlos Mendoza during this extended rough stretch, searching for answers.
Well, you look at the past couple of nights, we lost the strike zone. You know, we saw it with Clay yesterday. We saw it with Petey today. We saw it pretty much with all of them, giving free passes.
Realizes,
the
no
entire
one I can point
staff.
To. Yeah, yeah, not what you want. And now they'll hand the ball to Kodai Senga for tonight's rubber game. He's not exactly one to fill up the strike zone or go after guys, but he'll be opposed by Bryce Elder, who's been struggling
all right,
for
over
Atlanta
under.
This year.
Over 75 under. Pitches for Senga at what point in the game?
75, I'll say 4 1/3.
I mean, keep in mind, Carlos Carrasco was like 60-something pitches in two innings.
You say 4 1/3, I'm going to say 3 3 1/3.
3 1/3, 75.
I was going to say 3 2/3. Two outs in the fourth inning, he'll be at 75.
So make that the lie. I said 4 1/3. He said 3 1/3. So 3 2/3.
3 2/3. That's okay. The
over under. There's your mark. It'll be another 7-10 first pitch on Odyssey Mets Radio. Mets a game clear of the Reds for the final NL wildcard spot as Cincinnati took 2 out of 3 from the Phillies, including an 8-0 shutout Wednesday. They've got the red-hot Brewers in a series that begins tomorrow in Cincinnati as Milwaukee beat the Pirates 12-5 for a 12th straight win. Here's Brandon Woodruff, who started that game. Everything clicking for us right now.
We're putting it together, all facets. I mean, it's like, doesn't matter if we get down early or what it is. We know our offense can generate some runs, and we've been throwing the ball well. And it was fun.
So he maintains a perfect record on the season. They've won 12 in a row, and winning that game yesterday or last night got free hamburgers for the entire city of Milwaukee. So good for them. The Mets have the...
From where again?
I'd have to look that up. If you give me a second, I can... And I told you that the backstory on this was... It's a long running thing, I guess, out there. Let's see.
Yeah, but you also said back in the day it was 17.
Yeah, it moved over time. Let's see. Local restaurant chain George Webb has been promising free burgers if the local baseball team won 17 consecutive games for decades, starting way back when Milwaukee was home to the minor league Brewers of the old American Association. Promotion dropped to 13 by the time the Brewers made Milwaukee a big league city in 1953, and then at some point they changed it to 12 when the Brewers moved from Seattle in 1970. So this goes back quite a ways.
The question would be, how many 12-game winning streaks have they had?
Yeah.
I would think not many.
Well, in 1987, they opened with 13 wins in a row. Okay. More than 170,000 burgers were given away at that time.
And so they really made good on this.
A second time in 2018 as they closed out the regular season with eight wins and then 4 playoff wins.
Yeah.
Wow.
So this morning in New York Post, George Webb goes out of business. So
it's a lot of money they're just giving away.
Oh, boy. Yeah, well,
but they're also
three
promotion,
times
I guess.
Since 1970.
True.
That
is true.
That's a very expensive day, though.
Sure.
For them.
But the advertising that comes with
That's fair.
Sure, it makes up for it.
Good point.
Mets got the third NL wild card spot. The Dodgers have fallen out of first place atop the NL West into a wild card spot in the NL. They've got the second spot after getting swept by the Angels. They've been leapfrogged by the Padres and now lead LA by a game. To the Bronx, where the Yankees went quietly against Joe Ryan and the Twins, 4-1 the final score. Really nothing to speak of other than a Cody Bellinger solo homer, as well as our thriving player of the game brought to you by ThriveWell Infusion. And that was rookie right-hander Cam Schlittler. 5 innings of 2-hit, 1-run ball, 6 strikeouts across 86 pitches. No decision, but he did lower his season ERA under 4. He's our Yankees thriving player of the game. Brought to you by ThriveWell, New York's premier infusion and injection center. Saving lives drip by drip. Visit ThriveWellInfusion.com. Would have liked to see him at least start the 6th inning.
I agree with you.
But afterwards, he at least publicly said he understands why.
As a rookie, you know, you got to earn that to be able to go out there again and face that lineup and, you know, get to 100, 105 pitches like Matt.
Max and Carlos and some of the other guys. So, again, that takes time and consistency.
See, I thought he did earn it.
Confident in the bullpen coming in and, you know, trying to get those outs.
Like, he was hitting in the fifth inning or maybe the fourth inning. He hit 100 on the gun.
Yeah. The velocity was there.
I thought he was getting better as the game. And I understand the Buxton at bat previously was that 8 or 9 pitch at bat and he lashes the ball. I get that. And I understand you don't want him to face the lineup the third time through. Okay, fine. Give him the opportunity. I mean, all right, you get in a little trouble, get him out.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, we yank these guys so fast sometimes.
Yes, we do. We sure do. Well, he said he had faith and the confidence in the bullpen to come out and come in and get the outs. Well, Yerry De Los Santos relieved Schlittler in the sixth.
You think
he didn't
that's predetermined?
The three batters.
You think that's predetermined?
As far as which guy?
Like when they have their meeting, because I don't think it's all on Boone. You think that's predetermined that, hey, if you get him through the order twice, get him out?
It very well could be. Yeah. Or, and even beyond that, they might then say, well, we like this guy in this lane as far as the bullpen and where they're at in the lineup. So, yeah. And De Los Santos has been pretty good.
I know
he wasn't last night. You know, it's just the way it worked. And the Twins played at 3 to take the lead. Of course, none of it matters when the Yankees only score 1. But that's a separate conversation. You've got this Paul Goldschmidt situation. As it was a little curious, he didn't pinch hit in the game. We found out he's got a knee sprain. He could end up on the IL along with Ahmed Rosario and Austin Slater, who are already there. Yanks are headed to St. Louis for a series that begins tomorrow night. They are a game and a half back of the Red Sox for the second AL wildcard spot. They're one up on Cleveland for that final berth. All right, now, the 7-line guys used the Pete Alonso record breaker to call out BT and Sal. I guess Sal, really. From a conversation they had about Alonso and potentially trading him around this time 2 years ago. So it goes back a ways. Now, I don't know if something happened on the midday show yesterday because the 7-line guys tweeted out Sal just now on BT and Sal, quote, "I never said Pete was toxic." So I don't know if that came up or a caller brought back something from a couple years ago. And there's more context to all this, which we can get into, but I will admit that, and Jerry heard this, I laughed pretty hard at the little piece that the 7-line, presumably Darren, posted on X, which included BT from 2 years ago as well.
Nobody on this show ever once said that Pete was toxic. You find the video or you find the article that either me or Sal actually said Pete is toxic.
The Mets have a toxic clubhouse, and Pete Alonso is part of that.
You find the video, Pete Alonso is part of that.
Now, to be clear, if you go back, there was like an extended 2-minute clip that we posted here, you know, our digital media team, and it was Sal hosting solo, and he says that at the beginning of an extended point, and he's saying the broader point is about the clubhouse and that there needed to be some sort of change and how they weren't going to trade Lindor. And at the time, we didn't know what was going to happen with Pete's contract, free agency, so on and so forth. And as much as it pained him to say that we should move on from Alonso because he's a, you know, born and bred Met, came up through the system, loves the team, all those good things, that if you were looking for somebody to trade to make some sort of change, that Pete would be the guy.
Okay.
So they kind of grabbed that one little clip and made it sound worse than it actually was.
Well, yeah, which is something that people love to do in 2025. I mean, like you're not allowed to change your mind in 2 years based
that's
on things that happened.
True. Yeah.
I mean, everybody who's ever talked sports has an instance of this, whether it's been on the air or off the air. And if you don't have those strong opinions, then you're dead meat. So
you're boring.
Right. So at that time, Sal, who's also more connected to the Mets through the SNY
and
stuff.
And he referenced that as well. So he had spoken to multiple sources that felt there was an issue inside.
And
the
that was part of his reason for saying, if that's the case, then maybe you move on from him.
Yes.
Okay. And then 2 years later, I mean, after it was a rough year, obviously, in the regular season, then the Milwaukee home run, then the negotiations and everything else, he's back and he's had a good year and the whole, you know, home run leader and all-time history for the Mets. I mean, he changed his mind. Like, big deal. I mean, is that like what does the critic want in that situation for him,
like,
to get on a crucifix and sit
low
there
hanging fruit,
throw tomatoes at him because he changes Pete Alonso opinion? Like, like, okay, it's fine. But I mean, it's all in the name of content. I just don't understand, like, the anger about it. Like,
one
I mean,
of those
there's
gotcha
a lot of
moments,
stuff.
I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, like, is it really, though?
No, in their eyes, it was. I don't think it was.
And you got to remember that Sal's responsible for the Mets blowing the NL East in 2022, according to a lot of these people.
Yeah, but what they don't understand is, you know, the more credence that they give Sal's opinion, the more evidence there is that he's doing his job correctly, because you're caring about it.
Correct.
Absolutely. since we're out of time, something I'll have for you next hour as well as you guys talk about your golf trip out west. There's a golf event coming up here locally that BT, I guess, is going to be a part of. But, you know, golf can be a game of confidence, right? And he's very much lacking. A man with all that bravado and testosterone.
He's got injuries.
Well, I'll play you some of that from earlier this week. I've been sitting on it until you guys got back. I wanted to get your thoughts. We don't normally hear BT so openly and publicly critical of
himself. He's usually a very confident person.
Yes. Stop tapping out!
Yeah, exactly right.
Oh, when are we playing with Sal, by the way? Speaking of Sal and golf, when is that?
Next week.
That's next week.
Next Wednesday.
I got to put that in my calendar.
The Quaker Ridge hit?
Yes.
Calendar.
Correct.
Yeah, nice. That'd be fun. I haven't seen Sal play.
Ever? I played with him twice last year.
Wow.
He can hit the ball.
I know he doesn't play a lot, but I would have figured somewhere along the way you would have teed it up with him.
No. Have you?
I think I might have once, actually. Yeah. I forget where or when, but I think
no
one
idea
time.
He even played.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't.
Not regularly.
He doesn't. He makes an annual appearance. Maybe he'll play with Mike and he'll play with Steve from Quaker Ridge.
No. I right now am sucking.
All right.
Speaking of no context.
Yeah. All right. We'll see you next hour.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. You know, I don't take anything in preseason that happens as a sign of anything to come. Obviously, it's a regular season stuff, and you don't get fooled by those things. But there's one thing, and I'm not going to go back and saying that I believe that now Jackson Dart's going to be the savior for the Giants. This is not what I'm saying. I'm prefacing it with that. But I'll say this much about having not seen him play in a regular season game yet. Mm-hmm. That he, take this for what it's worth, looks the part more already than Daniel Jones or Zach Wilson ever did from just a man standpoint.
That's
you understand
fair.
What I'm saying?
Yeah, that's 100% fair. So, absolutely.
Like, and I don't know. I still didn't love the pick. I thought it was a bit of a force at that moment. They felt like they had to do it. But his presence, like, Daniel Jones looked, not to be disrespectful, but like a goofball. Like, he always had that face on. He was just like, oh, you know, huckety, boom, boom, boom. Yes. You know, like, he had that face on. And he was like, couldn't tell if he was mad or what. And he was just like, ooh. And then Zach Wilson looked like a child.
Yes.
He looked like a punk teenager kid that you wanted nowhere near your home because he was going to leave empty cans of White Claw on your lawn, you know? Jackson Dart, to me, looks like a young man.
Mm-hmm. He looks like an NFL quarterback.
Right!
I
and those guys never did to me.
I agree. See, I mean, Daniel Jones looked like Eli to me. He did, because Eli had that face, too.
Yeah.
But he did win, obviously, and he was Eli. But I do agree with you. From the highlights I have seen, that, you know, he looks the part. He looks like an NFL quarterback. Doesn't mean he can do it when it gets real and you're playing against starters as opposed to what he has seen so far. But the early returns are good. It's hard to argue.
I mean, and it's not even him, like, the highlights of the, you know, him on the field or the touchdown pass as much as it is like him just walking around, talking to the media, standing next to Brian Daboll. I'm like, I can actually see him being a starting quarterback of the NFL when I could never envision those other two guys being the guy. I could never get there with
them. Yeah, well, unfortunately for Zach, he has the young face and he's not 6'7" and he didn't have the body type that you would like to see. You know, this kid, again, he looks like an NFL quarterback. Doesn't mean he's going to be, because these games mean literally nothing, as we've learned over the years. But it's a lot better than him looking like crap.
No, of course. Yeah, no, absolutely. And by the way, NFL Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. And what was it? What do we have here? As I'm getting my bearings again, we have Saturday night Jets Giants.
Yes,
correct.
Correct.
7 o'clock.
Only a few weeks away from the opener.
Yeah, it'll be what, Thursday?
Today. Yeah, the
3 weeks from today. My goodness.
I suppose. I know the Thursday night game, only because I know I'm doing it, is Cowboys and Eagles in Philly. So is that 2 weeks from? That's 3 weeks from Thursday.
Yeah, which is today.
Oh, God, I'm thinking it's Monday. Jesus, God.
Right. I thought it was Monday, too.
Right, wow.
For a second. That's okay, why I was like, wait a second, it's Thursday.
Today's Thursday, right.
Yeah.
Good call.
Just trying to figure out where we are and who we are. It took me like 3 or 4 days to figure out who I was after that 10 days in Vegas we did.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So I wasn't sure exactly who I was, where I was supposed to be.
I understand.
What my responsibilities were.
I get
where
it.
I came from. It took a while.
My God.
Let's go to Tommy in Mattawan. What's going on, Tommy?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
What's up, Tommy?
I just wanted to call to thank you guys because I've been trying to put together a trip to Pebble for about 2 years now, and obviously the logistics with it all is pretty crazy. And I pretty much given up on it, and I was in the car with my wife listening to you guys, and Boomer said the magic words. He goes, guys, we're all booked for Pebble. It's all set. And it just reignited a little fire in me, and I was on the phone for like 3 days with Pebble, and shout out to Brandy at Pebble. I'm leaving Sunday.
Good for you.
Playing Spanish Bay Monday, Spyglass Tuesday, and Pebble on Wednesday.
That's awesome.
That is tremendous, man.
Enjoy it.
So I saw that you guys out there. You know, it's weird that she said, make sure you bring pants.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And I'm like, thinking, I can't play in shorts? And she's like, I don't think so.
No, you can, and I did one day. It's not that bad, but it is chilly. Like, you're right off the ocean. It's not going to be 85 and sunny.
Wow. I am so pumped. Thank you, guys. You guys pushed it over the line.
Good.
I guess I'm playing with the same guys. They had a foursome. One guy couldn't make it. And so I slid into the spot as a single.
So you're going by yourself?
Like, I'm going by myself.
Wow, good. I give you a lot of credit, man.
Wife's not coming?
My wife said, nope. She said, I don't want to hear you complain in the next 6 months that you should have done it. So do it.
That's amazing, man. Tommy, I give you a lot of credit because a lot of people would not make that trip or any trip by themselves. So good for you.
Yeah, I'm doing it. I just, you know, we always say, oh, let's do that next year. And, you know, I just said, I'm not going to wait until next year again. So
well done.
Tommy.
I was psyched watching you guys out there this morning. It was awesome. So psyched, and I can't wait.
Yeah. Hey, Tommy, thanks for calling, and have a great time. That's a good wife there, too.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. I don't want to hear you bitch about not going, so
you the hell out of the house. Man, go do it. And I mean that when I say, like, the idea that there's a lot of people that won't just go up to their county course by themselves because they don't want to get paired up with three other guys. To go cross-country and do that, and he'll have the time of his life. But
oh, yeah.
I give him a lot of credit.
And I'm sure, I mean, the chances are the people he's playing with are going to be friends of his immediately.
You would
once
certainly
he shows
think
up. I mean, if the
that's
guys,
a chance.
Yeah, like-minded guys who want to play Pebble, hanging out.
No doubt.
Dudes being dudes.
This should be good.
That's what's going to happen.
Should be only live once, man. Go do it.
Yeah, yeah. Bring pain. Boomer wore that sweater, that green sweater the first day.
It was chilly.
Yeah, it was a little cold.
It was chilly.
But I enjoyed it. You're not going to freeze your ass off. But
No. Nothing like that. Nothing. But it's great pants weather for sure.
Great pants weather.
Great pants weather.
Yeah, layer up, as they say.
And
Jerry.
I did have, you know, it's so funny because I put I mentioned that scratch over, I forget what you call it.
Sugarloaf Social Club.
Yeah, I forget what the type of shirt it was, though, that I put over the hoodie. But I had a jacket, like a golf jacket. And where did I leave it? In the car. And
of
did
course.
Not bring it with me.
Just like you left your putter in the room.
In the room.
Yeah,
moron.
That ended up being a really good thing, though.
Yes, it did.
That was serendipity.